Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
A study pertaining to the Holy Spirit and that which is related to the Holy Spirit. And as you know, this is a subject of which there is great controversy and, of course, of which there is a great deal of error. But there's a great deal of truth that we need to study. It's a neglected subject. And you know, once you study the subject of the Holy Spirit, you really wonder why it is neglected. Maybe it's because it does have certain difficulties about it. But there is such a vital connection between the Holy Spirit and our own salvation. And the Holy Spirit is prominently mentioned in the Bible. Therefore, people need to know about God, and they know something about God, and they know something about Christ. But there is probably, or at least it's probably safe to say, that generally speaking, we know less about the Holy Spirit. So we need to break away these shackles of superstition and tradition and doctrines of men and ignorance of the Bible and to learn what the Bible has to say. And the Bible is, dear friend, the only source of information that we have about the Holy Spirit. Now we can learn something about God the Father, at least His existence, by an investigation and an analysis of the universe that He created. We can know that He does exist. Not much more can we know about God, but we can know that. We couldn't know anything at all about Jesus Christ except for a few fleeting passages in secular history. We learn about Christ from the Bible. And all that we know about the Holy Spirit is from the Bible. Therefore, when we study about the Holy Spirit, we're going to necessarily restrict ourselves, as we should in all things pertaining to God, to the all-sufficient inspired Scripture of which Paul speaks in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Inasmuch as all that we can know, I mean everything that we can know about the Holy Spirit must come by and through the Word, isn't it strange that people who claim the Holy Spirit speaks to them directly must first of all turn to the Bible to even know that He exists? If the Holy Spirit speaks directly to people, you wouldn't have to have a Bible at all. You would know that He speaks to you, and therefore you wouldn't have to look it up in the Bible to know whether or not He's spoken. And you wouldn't have to turn to the Bible to learn the will of God. The Holy Spirit would just tell you about it. And of course, that's one of the false ideas that people have about the Holy Spirit, that He comes and directly speaks unto us today. Now, when we start studying about the Holy Spirit, we need to have some degree of understanding about the Godhead. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 29, when the Apostle Paul was teaching to a group of skeptics and intellectuals about the true and living God, he said this: "Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device." Again, Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 9, speaking of Christ, "For in Him," Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now the term Godhead, it simply means Godhood. Just like the word manhood speaks of those things pertaining to men. Womanhood speaks of those things pertaining to women. Childhood speaks of those things pertaining to children. Godhood or Godhead is used to convey the idea of divinity or deity. And while Christ was even here upon this earth, He was deity in the flesh, and in Him was the fullness of the Godhead, deity bodily. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And when the Bible teaches there is one God, it's teaching there is one Godhead. There is one Godhood. And this Godhead or Godhood is composed of three members. There is, of course, God the Father, who's supreme in wisdom, in power, in love, in mercy, in justice, spoken of as the Creator, the Father of our spirits, many things pertaining to God. The only member of the Godhead, however, to take on the human form was the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ the Son. Of course, He was born of woman. He lived. He died. He was raised again. He ascended into heaven. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He took on the form of a human being. The Father did not. The Son did. And then there's the Holy Spirit, who is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. Now, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as being present even at the creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Watch it now. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." We'll study about His function involved in the creation in just a moment. But His existence is spoken of here in the second verse of the Bible. And when the Bible says, "In the beginning, God," we need to understand that the word there translated God is the Hebrew word Elohim. And it is significant that that is a plural word. It refers to more than one involved in this creation. There was the Godhead that brought about the creation. Now, we know that there was more than one involved when we read about, in John chapter 1, the second person of the Godhead that is called the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And the Word, in verse 14 of this same chapter, is identified as the only begotten of the Father, which of course had reference to Jesus the Christ. So we know that there was more than one person involved in the creation. The plurality of persons involved in the creation is further seen in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when Scripture says that deity said, "Let us," that's plural, "make man in our," that's plural, "image." So there is more than one person in the Godhead. The New Testament recognizes this several different times, particularly at the baptism of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3:16 through 17, "And Jesus," that's the one that took on the form of a flesh, "when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God," that's the third person of the Godhead, "descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," with reference to words spoken by the Father, the third person of the Godhead. In the Matthew record, in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus was giving the Great Commission, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So the New Testament certainly recognizes the three persons of the Godhead. The Apostle Paul certainly did as he closed the 2 Corinthian letter in 2 Corinthians 13:14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God," with reference to the Father, "and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Friend, there just simply cannot be any question as to what the Scripture affirms. The Godhead is not simply three aspects of one person. There are three persons. There are not three gods or Godheads or deity. There is one Godhead, but this Godhead is composed of three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal one with the other. How can three be one? Now, you think that's a difficult matter. But the Bible speaks of husband and wife as being one. But in another sense, they are two. So that we should not have any difficulty in knowing there being one Godhead, they are one, one in purpose, one in nature, but nonetheless, they are still three persons. And the Holy Spirit is pictured to us in the Bible as a person. Now, I want to insist right here that when we speak of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, we should never refer to Him as some kind of glorified it. And I'm trying to be respectful even as I say we should not do that. He is not some kind of just it. He's not just some kind of influence. He's not just some kind of mystical power out here. Now, while there's much about the nature of the Holy Spirit we do not know, for it's not revealed. In fact, there's a lot about the nature of deity that we do not know and couldn't comprehend because we are so finite and limited. There are things that we can know and we should seek to know that. The Holy Spirit is more than simply the mind of the other persons of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not simply the temper or the disposition of the Father or the temper or disposition of the Son. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is presented to us with personal attributes showing that He is a divine person. For instance, in John 14th chapter, in the 26th verse, Jesus speaking to the apostles, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to the remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He, that's a personal pronoun, referring to a person, not an it, but a He. Again in John 15, verse 26, "But the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He," there He is again, "shall testify of me." But it is more emphatically brought out in John the 16th chapter when Christ was explaining to the apostles what would be the work of the Holy Spirit. "Howbeit, when He," the Spirit of truth, "is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Friend, you can't read that passage of Scripture without knowing that the Holy Spirit is a person, not just an influence, and not just some kind of glorified it. Furthermore, we know that like produces like, and we know that life cannot come from non-life. Life comes from life. And Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Therefore, I know the Holy Spirit is living, because the Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit, furthermore, has a mind. Romans 8 and verse 27 says, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." And as you read about the operation of the Spirit and the many references to the Spirit, we see that the Holy Spirit has the power of choice. The Holy Spirit made a decision pertaining to where Paul would preach, forbidding him to go and to preach in Asia or Bithynia, but deciding to send him to Macedonia. There are other things said about the Spirit. In the Spirit, as I have mentioned, there is life. In the Spirit, there is light. The Spirit is spoken of as one who loves, works, speaks, acts, blesses, reconciles, transforms, glorifies, bears witness, restrains, forbids, and intercedes. All of those things, of necessity, are things that can only be accomplished by a person. Just as the Father is a person, just as the Son is a person, not some kind of mystical power, it, floating around out here. That's to speak blasphemously of deity. I noted to you a moment ago that the Holy Spirit was involved and present at the time of the creation. And we can know what His work was and what specific role He had in the accomplishment of that creation. In Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 15, we read, "He hath made the earth by His power, He hath established the world by His wisdom, and He hath stretched out the heaven by His understanding." This is spoken of deity. This is what deity did. Again, in Psalms 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Verse 9, "And He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." There can be no question about what the Bible affirms. The Bible affirms that this physical universe, of which we are a part, had a beginning. It did not just happen. It's not the result of some kind of explosion of something for which nobody can give explanation as to its origin. God spoke, and by the very power of His Word, that which did not exist, did exist. This is the record of the Bible as to the origin of things. And the agent through whom this was accomplished was Jesus Christ, the one who became Jesus Christ, second person of Godhead. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2 says, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son," notice now, "whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." So there's no question that both the Father and the Son, the first and second persons of the Godhead, were involved in the creation. And what about the Holy Spirit? I read to you a moment ago how that the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and we read of the Spirit moving upon the face of the waters. Now this word moving carries the idea of the Spirit brooding over that which had been spoken into existence. And the suggestion of this word is the idea of organizing, placing, arranging, putting into system, bringing order out of that which was up to that time not in order. And Job wrote in Job 26 and verse 13, "By His Spirit the heavens are garnished." God spoke, and Christ was involved, and the Holy Spirit was present. And the detailed structure and organization and arrangement of the universe was the role that the Spirit had even in the creation. Furthermore, as we have noted, the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of that which was spiritual as well as that which was physical. I read to you a moment ago, "Let us make man in our image." Man is in the image of deity. Blood. The Bible teaches that that's not so. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit. John 4:24. It simply asserts man being in the image of God, man, though he has a body, is also spirit in the likeness of God. He's a spiritual being as well as a physical being. And friend, as I have said to you before, so say I to you now again. It is because of that fact, man being a spirit as well as body, that makes him distinctive. That's what makes him different. That's what makes him unique. That is the very basis of human rights. That's the very basis of human dignity. This is said of no other thing which God created but mankind. Man has spirit as well as body. And in that spiritual likeness of God, and the Holy Spirit was involved in that. Let us, plural, in our image, plural. And of course, the Bible student is very well aware also that the Holy Spirit functions significantly in the bringing about of God's spiritual kingdom. And as Jesus had promised His apostles before He ascended into heaven that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they would be endued with power from on high on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit did come upon the apostles and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The words that the apostles preached on that occasion had brought the church into existence that fulfilled the prophecies of old concerning the coming of the kingdom was accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the fact that the Holy Spirit was involved in the physical creation, the spiritual creation, as well as the spiritual kingdom, He's a part of the Godhead, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son, possessing all of the personal attributes of the other persons of deity. Now, friend, when you study the Bible, you will find the Holy Spirit prominently mentioned in both the Old and the New Testament. It is true that God the Father is the most prominently mentioned of deity in the Old Testament. It is true that Christ the Son is the most prominently mentioned of deity in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned in both. And that which we know about God from Scripture is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because, as Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So anything that we know about God and our relationship with God and our responsibility to God and the commandments of God and the personal nature of God, even back in the Old Testament, was the result of the work done by the Holy Spirit. The same thing is true concerning the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Notice now, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul, what's the source of what you're writing? Well, it's not me, Paul would say. It's not any other men, Paul would say. Who is really doing the teaching of the things that Paul and the apostles and others of the New Covenant times were proclaiming? He says it is the Holy Spirit. And even though the Holy Spirit is not mentioned as prominently in the Old Testament as he is in the New, in the Old Testament, read about him 23 different times at least, called by such terms as simply the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, we read not only, as we have noted, the Holy Spirit involved in the creation, he was involved in the interpretation of dreams that men of God were able to give. He was involved in the giving of visions that men of God saw. He was involved in the construction of the tabernacle and the instructions given as to how to build that tabernacle. He was involved in granting certain power to certain individuals on certain occasions that we'll not get into, but just simply take note of that. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. When the prophets spoke, it was the work and the message of and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Certainly the New Testament repeatedly honors the Holy Spirit, does it not? In fact, there are some 204 references to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and it is in the New Testament that we learn of the relationship of the Holy Spirit to my salvation and yours. Dear friend, the whole Bible can really be looked upon as the book of the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament can be looked upon as the revelation of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And the work and the mission of Jesus Christ can be understood better when you realize that it was continued on by the Holy Spirit, and he accomplished that by and through the Word of God. Tonight's lesson, by the way, is going to refocus upon the relationship of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be talking about inspiration, the nature of the inspiration of the Bible, and how God inspired the Bible through the Holy Spirit. And believe you me, there are more than a few people, even in the ranks of the church, who are totally confused and misinformed about the nature of biblical inspiration. We'll talk about some of the theories that men have propagated about it, and then we're going to focus our attention upon what the Bible says about its own inspiration. But now, we all know, do we not, that the child born in Bethlehem was born of Mary, but the Scripture says he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1 and verse 20. And Jesus is called the Son of God. Therefore, I know the Holy Spirit is referred to as God, or one of the persons of the Godhead. It was the Spirit that led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was the Spirit who, along with the Father, was present with Jesus at his baptism. It was by the power of the Spirit that Jesus and others whom he authorized was able to cast out demons. And 57 references in the book of Acts by itself, just that one book, shows the guidance of the Holy Spirit of the apostles, not only telling them what to say, but how to say it, and then by miracles and powers, confirming the truthfulness of what they said. So the Holy Spirit, a very great Bible subject, deserving of our study, complicated, admittedly, because he is deity. He's one of the three members of the Godhead, a person with personal attributes like the Father and the Son, present and involved in physical creation, present and involved in spiritual creation, functioning indispensably with the bringing in of the spiritual kingdom of deity, prominently mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Once we understand the Holy Spirit as a person, then I would suggest we're in a position to be able to understand better the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Bible, the relationship of the Holy Spirit to Christ, the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us, what it means to be against the Spirit, and it is by and through the Holy Spirit that we come to a knowledge of our spiritual relationship either with God or being alienated from God. The Holy Spirit tells us how we're separated from God, and that's by our sins. But the Holy Spirit, through the Word, has also informed us how we can be reunited and reconciled unto God, and that's in the Bible. And that way is faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. This is the message of this third person of the Godhead. We're going to be saved the way the Spirit has directed, or we shall not be saved at all.